Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody got to see the cool little, I guess, Christmas star is what they're calling it yesterday. Saturn and Jupiter combined together. That's about as deep as I go in astrology.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. Joe Rexrode, how we doing, my friend?
Wait, did you just say astrology?
Yeah.
I think that's like, what's your sign?
Astronomy. Is that what I'm looking
for? There we
for?
Go.
There we go. One for two.
Close it up, man. Yeah, you're fine. You're in the neighborhood.
Hey, batting 500 gets you in the Hall of Fame, Robbie. Hey.
You know what? Didn't get a whole lot of sleep last night. But you know what? It's going to be a good show.
I can relate.
We're excited about the show today. Our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joins us at 8:30. We'll get into all things NFL with him. And then Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes joining us at 9 o'clock. So very much looking forward to that. Vols fans, I know there have been a lot of things that you haven't liked about 2020. Basketball is not going to be one of them. This Tennessee basketball team is very, very good. So looking forward to that conversation with Rick Barnes at 9 o'clock. And Joe, on the football side of things yesterday for Tennessee, more bad news. The Vols, it was announced on Sunday, were going to play in the Liberty Bowl against West Virginia. It comes out yesterday that Jeremy Pruitt and multiple players and coaches have tested positive for COVID-19, meaning no more bowl game for the Vols on December 31st. They will not be in the Liberty Bowl. They have now been replaced by Army.
Yeah, boy, I mean, this program needs to slow down on the news making, but it's one thing after another. Yep. So I would say that in terms of the general college football observer, it's kind of nice to see Army get in. Army should have gotten in anyway. Army couldn't get in over 2-8 South Carolina. So it works out well to give Army a bowl game. This is an interesting one on the Vols fan front. You know, is this do people want to watch more of this team? I mean, it's still like you only get a few, you know, days every year to watch your college football team play, you know, but at the same time, it hasn't been very fun to watch this team play. So it's an interesting, you know, how do people feel about this?
It is. I'd like to know. I will say, like, this is the biggest service that Tennessee has done to the rest of the college football world all year, and that is allowing Army to get into bowl game. I mean, this is probably the most productive thing that's happened for Tennessee's football program all season long.
The most respectful thing
for sure. The most respectful thing for sure.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is a service. It is a service to all, really. So good to see Jeff Monken and that team. And, you know, obviously the Liberty Bowl wanted Tennessee, but just, I mean, everything, like even the fact that like there was a bowl game yesterday, you know, like there's bowl games, you know, like the ones that are still going are obviously they've got a schedule, you know, they've got a day, this is a day, but it's like, you know, like the season ended yesterday and, you know, it's just the whole thing is just bizarre. It's just bowl games are not bowl games this year. I think in this way in particular, it really, like you can kind of fool yourself when you're watching a college football game, you know, during this year. But like bowl games are just way different and seem so irrelevant at this point.
They do. And now from Tennessee's vantage point, you kind of look ahead with no game happening now on December 31st. Like is Jeremy Pruitt safe at this point? Like we talked about the statement a little bit yesterday, Joe, from Philip Fulmer that he released on Sunday, looking ahead to the bowl game and what could be against West Virginia and saying, you know what, we're looking forward to these practices and the game and getting ready for Coach Pruitt to come back in the spring and these practices will be beneficial for the football program. And it sounded to me like he was safe and he was coming back next year, but I guess it's Tennessee football and you just really never know what's going to happen. What happens from here, in your opinion? Is Jeremy Pruitt officially safe at this point if no move's been made as of yet?
Oh, I don't feel that way. I think that there's absolutely a lot of different things that could happen. This investigation is a real thing. And, you know, I don't feel like there's any resolution at all right now on next year, despite what Fulmer put out there, just because we just don't know how this thing will go. And if it goes a certain way, that could absolutely jeopardize Jeremy Pruitt's job.
Yeah, and, you know, we still don't know exactly what the details of the investigation are, but certainly going to keep our eye on that for Tennessee as we move forward. And we'll have lots to talk about today with the Vols for sure. Joe, I mentioned yesterday on the show, I was very interested to see what the Pittsburgh Steelers look like in the Monday night game against Cincinnati. Obviously, we've talked about the big matchup between the Titans and the Packers coming up on Sunday, a great matchup between the Colts and the Steelers as well coming up on Sunday. And I was like, okay, can Big Ben and this Pittsburgh offense, can they get things going back in the right direction against the lowly Cincinnati Bengals? Well, Joe, the answer to that question is a resounding no. Cincinnati gets their third win of the season. They knock off Pittsburgh 27-17. The Steelers have dropped three games in a row. And quite frankly, Joe, they look terrible. I mean, I don't know how much of a threat they actually are in the AFC anymore with the way that they've been playing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing to think of. You know, they came in here and certainly a different team too. You know, Bud Dupree for one thing. They've had some other guys they've lost too. You know, they've certainly had probably more than their share of injuries, but man, they look bad. And Roethlisberger just misses stuff that I'm not used to seeing him miss. Yeah. That an NFL quarterback can't miss. They're bad right now. And I mean, the Bengals. I mean, it's Ryan Finley who, hey, you know, did a nice job, but that's a bad team. That's a bad loss. And, of course, the Titans know what it's like to lose in that stadium this year. You know, it's interesting because on the one hand, you know, if you're the Titans, it's great to see a team that's going to be in the playoffs look this bad. On the other hand, you'd like to see them get their crap together in a few days, you know, to help you out, because the Colts go to Pittsburgh Sunday. Right now, the way those two teams are playing, I don't love the Steelers' chances, which, of course, would put a ton of pressure on the Titans Sunday night in Green Bay.
It would, and with that loss, Pittsburgh drops from second to third in the AFC, so now just one spot ahead of the Titans. The Buffalo Bills move up to the 2 seed in the AFC, so it's pretty amazing to think about. Pittsburgh starting this season 11-0, and they have just totally fallen apart since then. And you mentioned Roethlisberger. Yesterday finishes 20 of 38, 170 yards, one touchdown, one interception, and like you said, just missing on some passes that you don't normally see him miss on. The other side of the ball, Ryan Finley, the legendary Ryan Finley, throws complete 7 of 13 passes, 89 yards, a touchdown, adds another touchdown on the ground. I'm looking at that Pittsburgh offense right now, Joe, and I'm just not seeing the answer. Like, I still like the receiving core, Claypool and Johnson and Juju, obviously, who took a ferocious hit last night, by the way. But if Roethlisberger is this limited offensively, I just don't know what the answer is going to be for Pittsburgh. And especially with the defense now, that with as many injuries that they suffered, they're just not the same defense as they were to begin this season.
Right. And they don't run the ball at all. They have not had any. And, you know, Snell is a solid player, but they don't have, you know, they don't have what they've had in the past, which is balance. And like you said, early in the year, it didn't matter because Roethlisberger was in a groove, and they do have very good receivers. So, the big change is really him. Some kind of an injury. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but some of the throws he's making are bizarre. Even decisions he's making are bizarre. So, yeah, it's a problem. I mean, look, it's the NFL. They still have a lot. And I think, you know, another thing that I was surprised by is just how they were beating up front on both sides of the ball last night. Yep. In a lot of situations, short yardage both ways, just getting beat up. And that's surprising. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. But certainly it's going to take Roethlisberger to turn it around drastically, quickly.
It is, and I mean, you just kind of look around at the AFC right now, and it's kind of funny. A few weeks ago, we were like, you know, the Steelers are 11-0, and you don't hear a lot of MVP talk for Ben Roethlisberger. Like, now we may be seeing why, Joe. Maybe not warranted a lot of that MVP talk.
Yeah, no, he's I don't know where he'd fall in there. I mean, of course, he was not one of the Pro Bowl quarterbacks.
No.
Of course, neither was Ryan Tannehill, but one of those things is a mistake and not the Roethlisberger part of it. But yeah, Roethlisberger has faded incredibly fast. I tell you what, Cleveland finally get Pittsburgh? They get another shot at him, and man, they are playing so much better right now.
I mean, the Browns, they've got a legitimate shot right now to win that division. I mean, with the way they're playing, you mentioned the Colts game. I mean, look, it's the NFL and things can change very quickly, so I'm not just going to rule the Steelers out. But I don't feel – if I'm a Titans fan, I don't feel great about that game this weekend, especially like a couple weeks ago. I think you're looking at the Steelers game and thinking, all right, they've got a pretty good shot to take out Indianapolis, and that's going to help us in this divisional race. If I'm a Titans fan right now, I'm approaching these next two games against the Packers and the Texans and looking at it, like, hey, if you want to win this division, you're going to have to win both of them.
Yeah, no, I think you have to look at it that way. I mean, you know, I mean, you'll know, and that's the thing. You'll know Sunday night, but I think you have to think that way. You got to think about, you know, this is game of the year for the Titans. That's how you have to look at it. Yeah, the Steelers are 31st in the NFL, 88 yards per carry on the ground, or 88 yards per game.
88 yards per carry would be an incredible percentage.
That would be pretty solid. That would be like, yeah. That'd be like combined Franco Harris and the bus and Le'Veon Bell's, you know, best games altogether. But it's pretty bad. They are they have no balance. And like you think about the Colts and what they are on both lines of scrimmage versus what the Steelers look like right now. And boy, I don't know. I mean, it's and you know, of the aging Uncle Ricos in this league, Phil Rivers looking a lot better than Ben or Brady right now.
Yeah, he certainly is, no doubt about it. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to the Titans and the Packers. Sunday Night Football coming up this weekend. When's the last time we had this much excitement about a Titans game this late into the season? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texts in and says, "So am I crazy, or do I see a pretty clear path for the Titans to end up as the number two seed in the AFC and guarantee themselves to avoid Kansas City until the championship game?" And you look at it right now, the Titans are number four in the AFC. Pittsburgh is fading fast. Buffalo has moved up to number two. If you can win out, if you're the Titans, end up 12-4 and hope that Buffalo slips up one of these last two games along the way, then yeah, you've got a chance. And Buffalo, they do play against the Dolphins in the last game of the season. So the path is there. It's going to be, I think, obviously a challenging one to accomplish if you're the Titans, but not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but see, what you have to remember here is, so Pittsburgh still got to lose out, right?
Right. Right, I mean, so, you got to factor that in, but just based on the way they're playing right now, I don't think that would be overly shocking.
But that means losing to Cleveland, so is Cleveland going to lose to the Jets? I mean, that's possible, I guess, but that's the only way.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not a clear path. It's not a great path. I mean, you know, obviously Buffalo could certainly lose one. I mean, they got the Patriots. They got Miami fighting for a playoff spot. That's possible. Pittsburgh losing out, certainly possible. Cleveland losing to the Jets, not looking great. But the three seed.
The revamped New York Jets.
That's right. That's right. Who have completely, completely blown their future. The three seed, though, certainly is not on the table. And that, to me, I mean, either way, you're probably not having to deal with Kansas City until the championship game. I mean, the difference would be, of course, you know, if you won your first game, then you're probably, you know, traveling to the two But, you know, Buffalo losing one with the Titans winning out and getting the three to me would be big, because obviously right now you're set up in the 4-5, which if there's no upsets in the first round means that, you know, you're winning one game to try to,
right,
and then you're going to Kansas City.
So we'll see.
So the three is still very valuable.
Yeah, still very valuable. And like I said, if you're a Titans fan, you got to approach these next two games as you need to win both of them. Finish 12-4 and just kind of see where the chips fall from there. And you look ahead to this game on Sunday, Joe, between the Titans and the Packers. And Corey Curtis said it yesterday from News 2 on the show with us about, you know, thinking about a week 16 game with all the factors that are in play here for the Titans and trying to remember, like, the last time there was this much at stake in week 16 or this much excitement this late into a season for a game coming up like there is on Sunday between the Titans and the Packers. And, you know, you factor in it's Sunday night football. The eyes of the nation will be on the Titans. It's a primetime game. You've got two great teams playing in this game. Lots of talent on both sides. The Packers had 7 Pro Bowlers yesterday. The Titans just with 2. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But, I mean, a couple of games come to mind for me. I mean, obviously, you think about the Sunday night football matchup between the Titans and the Colts a few years ago. But even that was different when Blaine Gabbert's out there starting. I mean, this is the biggest Titans game from a national perspective that I can remember in the regular season in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that was a win and end game. So, you know, I mean, obviously it got flexed to Sunday night. It was a focal point because the NFL always tries to, of course, put the games that have direct playoff implications in those prime spots at the end. That was a huge build up, and then I want to say it was Saturday. It may have even been day of that we found out Mariota wasn't playing. So the week was normal. It was, can Mariota finally beat Luck in a huge game and all this stuff? Right before the game, you get the downer of Gabbert playing. It was still a full stadium. I mean, that was still a big deal. I also think of week 15, 2016. Well, 15 and 16 in terms of importance of the Titans, they go to Kansas City, kind of a prove-it game. Probably the coldest – I think it's the coldest I've ever felt going to a game, and I've gone to games in Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Right.
Absolutely the most horrific cold day. I don't know how anybody was out there tailgating. And Ryan Succop hit that big block of ice way farther than you would have guessed to win that game. That was a big moment for the franchise. But, of course, then the next week, I mean, they put them in position to win the AFC South, shockingly. And then, of course, they go lose to Jacksonville. Mariota breaks his leg. But, yeah, that was big for them. That did not have the national implications or interest that this does. I mean, look, I think we're talking a long time since the Titans were in a game where people were talking about, one, it's a primetime game, but, you know, you're talking about, could these teams be in the Super Bowl? Could both of these teams have the MVP? I mean, things like that. I mean, tell me, you're probably going way, way back, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going back, I mean, maybe even going back to the McNair days. If not, certainly back in, you know, 08, when maybe it was a Titans and Colts game battling it out for the division or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's been a long time from a national perspective in the regular season where there's been a moment like this for the Titans. And it's different now and interesting because the star power that goes into it as well. Like, you think back to that Colts game, and, you know, even if Mariota was playing, like, the star power now is just different for the Titans. Derrick Henry has become one of the biggest stars in the league. Ryan Tannehill, even though not getting the respect that he probably deserves at this point, is starting to become a star in this league. A.J. Brown as well with the highlight plays that he's had. So it just feels different. Like, they ran the promo a few times the other night during Sunday Night Football on the broadcast. And, you know, Derrick Henry and the Titans, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I mean, it seems like the country is really excited about this. And, Joe, you know, like, that's not always been the case when the Titans play on the national on a national scale like this. It's cool to see, and it's also, I think, probably the first time you could say that since the days of McNair and George and maybe Vince Young early in his career, where they've had this type of star power and this type of matchup.
Yeah, and then just from the entertainment perspective on this game, I mean, you're talking about you know, two of the three offenses in the NFL. You're talking about number one and number three in points scored. Titans are number one. You got the, you know, number two and number four in total offense. You got the yards per play. The Packers are second in the league, 6.18. The Titans are third, 6.17. You got the number one red zone offense in the league, Green Bay. Titans number two. Titans number one goal to go offense in the league, Green Bay's number two. Now the difference is, you know, at least statistically, you know, the Packers are, you know, middle of the pack kind of D versus obviously the Titans are way at the bottom in a lot of categories, including again, right now sitting there at 52%. I think we can call it probably that the Titans are going to set the NFL record for third down defense futility this year. But it all adds up to what should be an up and down game. And I don't think the weather's going to interfere with that.
No, I mean, it's going to be cold. It looks like it's going to be in the mid-20s, but the last time I looked, overcast. So it's not like you're going up there playing in this blizzard in Green Bay like we've seen a few times. So I think both offenses are going to have a chance to be on full display here in this game. And I've had some Titans fans kind of tweeting yesterday about, you know, the Green Bay run defense, and they look at it, and it's, I think, ranked 11th in the league in rush defense. I would be very interested to see, like, where they are from a yards per carry standpoint because, I mean, the Packers' offense has been so good all year that eventually if you're the other team, like, you've just got to stop running the ball and start throwing it. That's why the yards per game probably is what it is. If you're the Titans, you can't allow yourself to get in a situation like that because if you're able to hang around and keep the game close, I mean, Derrick Henry, he's going to be able to run all over this defense. He just is. Like, the Packers are very weak against the rush, especially right up the middle. And Derrick Henry, if the Titans can keep this close, he's going to be able to put up some numbers in this game.
No, that's a good point. Situationally, the Packers are a team that don't get run on a lot, you know, because of, like you said, I mean, they're hard to keep up with. So, from what I've seen, we saw Dalvin Cook go nuts on that team a couple weeks ago, not too long ago. So yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I think that the Titans are going to be able to have rushing success. You know, can they have any kind of defensive success? So the Packers are 4.5 per carry, by the way. So that's that's lower half of the league. That's right around. That's in the low 20s. So certainly, like you said, if you look at it that way, it's not very good per game. A lot of that has to do with your offense. Can the Titans get any stops though? I mean, that's going to be a big question. You know, I mean, we don't expect them to affect Aaron Rodgers a whole lot. What are they doing with Davante Adams? Aaron Jones too. I thought one of the things about Sunday that I thought was disappointing is, you know, the Lions ran for, I think, 123 yards in that game. Adrian Peterson, DeAndre Swift, they did way too much on the ground against the Titans, which I thought had been getting better lately. You know, this is a big game for that, you know. Aaron Rodgers will pick up 3rd and 15 on you just like a lot of teams have been doing, but you'd still rather be Aaron Rodgers in 3rd and 9 than 3rd and 2. And obviously Aaron Jones. I feel like this is the star game with Henry and Rodgers, and then it's the underrated star game in Tannehill and Jones.
Yeah, it does feel that way. I mean, Aaron Jones, he's kind of a shifty guy, but we've seen it. He can break the big one. He broke one last week against Carolina. He can break that big run, so the Titans defense is going to have to be aware of that. But this is setting up to be just a really fun game. And look, it's the NFL. A lot of times the game doesn't go the way that you anticipate it going. But I think this one's going to be pretty high scoring. I mean, you mentioned it, two of the top three offenses in the NFL. And just with the way that both defenses, I think, are susceptible in this game really to each other and the way that the style of play, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if both teams end up in the 30s in this game. I think it's going to be one heck of a game.
I mean, I'll be disappointed if they don't, you know. Like, I fear building this game too much in my mind. But, like, if this is, like, 24-21, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to throw the remote.
Are you? just going to be fed up with it at that point.
Have a little tantrum.
Hey, look, life's better with a little tantrum every now and then. When we come back, we'll get back into Derrick Henry. Should Titans fans root for him to get 2,000 yards, even if that doesn't exactly line up with the team's success. We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, obviously another big day for Derrick Henry on Sunday against the Lions. Finishes with 24 carries, 147 yards, one touchdown, averaged over 6 yards per carry in that game. But I think both you and I would probably agree more yards were on the table for Derrick Henry in that game. But with the score being what it was, the Titans decided to use Darrington Evans a little bit more, give Henry a break, and not really push the table forward in terms of both his carries and his yards. And it gets you wondering, like, if you're a Titans fan and you're watching that game, are you rooting for Derrick Henry to stay in the game, knowing that you're adding the workload up, knowing that the chances of maybe him getting hurt are still there if you keep him in the game? Is that wrong of Titans fans to root for Derrick Henry to get to 2,000 yards, even though it could potentially put the team as a whole in a position where either you're without Derrick Henry in the playoffs or Derrick Henry gets banged up heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, see, I mean, I don't think it's ever wrong for fans to root for, like, their favorite player to be on the field and do well, you know? Like who wants to root for, oh, yeah, go sit down and stay healthy.
Get on the bench, yeah.
You know? Get some rest. I mean, you know, it's sports. You want Derrick Henry to play. You want to watch him play. You want to watch him run the football. Now, there's other aspects of Derrick Henry getting 2,000 yards that maybe are a little more, you know, conflicting, like, Matt, the Lions scored another touchdown. Man, maybe that wouldn't be all that bad. You know, I mean, that's where it gets kind of interesting. You know, now, I don't think Sunday you're probably going to have to worry about the Titans running the Packers off the field to the extent that Derrick Henry gets to sit out the fourth quarter.
You know? But like, so, in week 17, like, rooting for Deshaun Watson to put up 30 so the Titans have to keep playing Derrick Henry and running him out there.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah, like, what, and even like at this moment, just looking at the whole picture, like, rooting for that game to matter, because obviously, you know, it's possible for the Titans to, you know, like, if things worked out, the Titans could could win Sunday night. The Colts could lose to the Steelers, and I believe that would clinch the division, and then really there'd be the Titans win, the Colts lose, you win the division, and then really not much reason to play. Now, you could still look at, we were talking about seeding earlier, I think it's worth trying to get out of the 4-5 and get to the 3.
Agreed.
So, but does Vrabel think of it that way? I don't know that. You know, if you're coaching this team and you're like, okay, we won the division, we are hosting a home playoff game, and I have no idea what the other seed's going to be, and I don't feel like looking at all the scenarios, but my guys who are in the playoffs are sitting. I could totally see that decision. Honestly, I couldn't criticize it too much. I mean, I think it's probably a smart way to go. So,
well, I will say it's different this year, though, in my mind, though, a little bit, because, you know, in years past, the top two seeds in the conference, they get the bye, and they get the home game no matter what in the second round. Well, or in the divisional round of the playoffs. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, you know, Buffalo finishes as the 2 seed this year. If you're the Titans, I think you want to get the 3 seed, because what happens if Buffalo somehow loses their first round game that they'll have to play in the 2-7 matchup? Then you get the home game not only in wild card week, but maybe in the next week as well. So I think this year, probably more so than in years past, getting to that 3 is pretty important.
Yeah, but do you think Mike Vrabel will approach it that way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about an extra home game. I mean, I would hope he approaches it that way.
Well, you're talking about an extra home game if the 7 beats the 2.
Right, you at least want to put yourself in a position where you have that if that happens.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just assume, like, well, the 2 is going to beat the 7.
No, but you also – right, but then flip it around. So I'm going to go all out to win this game, even though I've won the division. for some hopeful seeding scenario and put my main guys in danger before the playoffs even start. I don't think Mike Vrabel would go that way. I could be wrong, but I'd be surprised. And so if they clinch it this week, this whole thing, I think, probably goes out the window. Now, maybe, this is where it's also, as a coach, and you know that there are individual – Vrabel hates all the individual stuff. You got to ask about the Pro Bowl yesterday and just about, spit on the screen. But, if Henry has a small lead over Dalvin Cook, I mean, the rushing title is – that is a big deal, and so you would hope that he would at least play him enough to get that or whatever the situation might be. But, yeah, I think if they clinch a division, I think a real restful Sunday in Houston is very much there for Derrick Henry.
Well, it could be. I mean, I know a lot of Titans fans, especially like if the Titans win this game against Green Bay, I mean, Derrick Henry is going to have to be a huge part of it. Like, I don't really envision a scenario where the Titans go out and win against the Packers and Henry's run for like 60 yards. Like, I mean, it could happen. Tannehill could just go off in this game. But I think if the Titans are going to win this game against Green Bay, Derrick Henry's going to have a pretty big day. And if he has a big day, I mean, 2,000 still going to be within reach at that point. We had the conversation last week. Like, at what point, if you're Mike Vrabel in the scenario that maybe the Houston game doesn't matter, in your opinion, for the playoffs and seeding and all that stuff, like at what point, how close Derrick Henry is to the 2,000 yard mark, does that factor into your decision if you're Mike Vrabel? I think unless he's like, I'm talking within 75 yards, I just don't see it really mattering all that much if the situation plays out and the Titans don't have a lot to play for in that last game against Houston.
Right. And this is the game, I agree, but this is a game that, we've had the last couple of weeks. Okay, can this game matter enough in the fourth quarter for him to get work? Now we're back to Titans can't let the game get away from them. I mean, that to me is – that's, his rushing yards can be tied to the situation of, okay, if the Titans are two scores behind, now he's going to sit on the sideline. It's going to be McNichols or Evans
right
on the field. I mean, they've got to play from ahead or at least play from within a score in this game. And if they do, then I agree. I mean, I think he'll have a lot of opportunity. I think he can have a lot of success in this game. 321 yards, so he's got to average, got to get 160 in each and get 161 in one of them. Certainly not easy, but it's also not at all crazy to think he could get 175, 180 in this game, against that defense if things were to work out well and put himself in position. And, again, who knows? I mean, right now, I don't really like the Steelers' chances to beat the Colts. So it may, I'd be surprised if the Titans are playing for the division on Sunday night. But in this, just in this matchup, this is now the defense. Before it was like, well, that bad defense might keep Derrick Henry on the field. Now it's like, against this offense, now can they keep him in the game?
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, 2,000 yards comes as often as Halley's Comet comes around. I want him to have all the achievements he can. Proud of the man in Derrick Henry. I think Ron speaks for a lot of Titans fans there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, he'd be the eighth guy. This would be the eighth season ever with that happening. So it's something that, again, I'm not saying you ever put any of these things above your team goals. Now, if the Titans were, a 6-8 football team right now, and this is all they're playing for, then it's like, pour everything into Derrick Henry. But think about how much more it means, too, when you have a 2,000-yard rusher, for a good team. And also, I mean, I don't know if it'll happen. A lot of things would have to go well, but it's possible. 4,000-yard passer, 2,000-yard rusher, 1,000-yard receivers. No NFL team has ever had that before. So what a comment on, this offense that would be, another way to make this season memorable no matter how it finishes. If Derrick Henry gets 2,000 yards, this season will be remembered regardless of what happens with the postseason and the Titans.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ty texts in and says, I sighed, but was with 147 yards rushing on Sunday, but I was 99% fine with resting Derrick Henry in that game. So Ty, almost 100% fine with putting Derrick Henry on the bench and letting him stay fresh.
Yeah. I bet you that's probably the right way to look at it. I bet you there were some people who did more than sigh, you know? I mean, it's because –
just yelling at the TV. Vrabel, what are you doing? Come on.
Well, you know, and it's like, hey, I mean, obviously team first, team success first. Then you watch Evans make a few plays, and you're like, okay, yeah, getting that guy some work is not a bad idea at all. Totally get it. I mean, you had like, you know, it's an interesting spot for Vrabel. I mean, he totally brushes aside individual stuff. And look, it's about team. He wants guys who are about team and all that. Ask him about Derrick Henry. He'll talk about how he's unselfish and a good teammate. At the same time, you know, it's again, this is a rare opportunity, and it's one of those. I mean, if people care about, you know, getting in the Hall of Fame and things like that,
yeah,
you know, this is another one of those things that is remembered about a player's career. And yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, the hard part may come at the end, where, like you said, you know, what's at stake, how far away is he, and all that stuff. It'll be interesting to see how Vrabel handles that. But right now, he very much just dismisses all of it.
When we come back, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur obviously had an interesting run with the Titans a couple years ago as offensive coordinator. Derrick Henry wasn't very much a part of the plans at that point under Matt LaFleur. How close were we to seeing Derrick Henry somewhere else? Maybe not anywhere close to the level that we're seeing him right now. We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Very violently and angry. He is a beast. And he is, you can see it. He's playing with a lot of confidence. I think, you know, obviously I know everybody there. I think Tony Dews does a heck of a job with the running backs. Keith Carter does an outstanding job with that offensive line. I think Arthur Smith is calling it as well as anybody in football. I've got a lot of respect for those guys. They really are great coaches. It was great to be around them for a year. And everybody's bought in. They're all on the same page. You can see all 11 guys they're very efficient on offense, both in the run game and the pass game. And obviously, when you have a guy of the caliber of Derrick Henry, who's a big man that is very, very fast, it sets everything up for you.
That was Packers head coach and former Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur the other day, looking ahead to the matchup between the Packers and the Titans, and specifically the running game with Derrick Henry. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Joe, it's very interesting. We've talked about it a little bit before. Like, Jared almost single-handedly credits Matt LaFleur for almost destroying Derrick Henry's career with the Titans. I think we both know it's probably a little bit more complicated than that, but you think back to 2018 when Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator with the Titans, and I think back specifically, I want to say it was the New England game that year, where Derrick Henry, he was like the third running back to start that game, right, and was not really a part of the plans, and you wondered, like, what's the future going to look like for Derrick Henry? Why can't he get this thing figured out? And we know what happened. He goes on later in the year, in December of that year, and that's really when the transformation of what we're seeing now and what Derrick Henry has become really started, was that year in 2018 and the last month of the season. But it is interesting to think back to, you know, LaFleur's year here with Tennessee, Henry's kind of first year in the league as well, before LaFleur got here, and think about what he was then, what he is now, and how close maybe the Titans came to never seeing Henry realize his full potential.
Right. And I think also you look at, you know, LaFleur's tenure, maybe a little differently based on his success in Green Bay. I think the guy, you know, has an idea of like how to, you know, draw up a play, coach a football team a little bit. I understand he has Aaron Rodgers, but I feel like, you know, Matt LaFleur probably deserves a lot more respect than he got leaving Nashville. You know, think about his 1 year as OC in his very first game, which is also Mike Vrabel's first game. He loses what's going to be a focal point of the offense in Delanie Walker, and his quarterback gets an injury that causes him nerve issues the entire year. You know, so I mean, from the start, you have that issue, and they had some, I mean, they had some – that was such an up-and-down year if you look at it. Like, the win over the Eagles in overtime, the Super Bowl champion Eagles, was just a tremendous game from Mariota, from Corey Davis, you know, going forward on fourth down in overtime, all this stuff. And then, you know, like the loss to Buffalo, 13-12. The 21-0 loss to the Ravens, which, by the way, Za'Darius Smith, who this is the next time the Titans will see him Sunday night, absolutely annihilated their entire offensive line in that game for the Ravens. So, but, you know, so it's like, oh, they are in trouble. They are bad. And then, you know, they had that great performance. You mentioned New England, 34-10 win. Coming off Dallas, 28-14 Monday Night Football win. Really impressive all the way around. And it's crazy to think, you know, but Derrick Henry was not the guy, like you said. I mean, Derrick Henry was the number three back as of the start of the New England game. Deion Lewis was really good at Monday Night Football, and Dallas was like, okay, so this is their guy. It had kind of been both of them all year. It's crazy to think about it. But it's also like the idea that LaFleur gets, you know, the bulk of the blame for that, I think is a bad way to look at it. And yes, Jared has driven that bus for years. First of all, Mike Vrabel was the head coach, right? Second of all, Chris Mortensen at the time reported that Derrick Henry was being shopped. I mean, the Titans were frustrated. They didn't know exactly what they had. They just didn't see where it was going with Derrick Henry. Was it going to click for him? And then obviously it did. And then the offense morphed into completely centered around Derrick Henry in December. And I think that's also credit to LaFleur, because that's what you do as a coach. You have someone performing, and then you say, okay, well, he's going to get a whole bunch of carries now.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me, like, where both of those careers have gone since then. Like, I remember, like, everybody was so excited when Matt LaFleur was the offensive coordinator, because he was around Sean McVay and into that system, and that was all the rage in the NFL, was getting anybody who had breathed around Sean McVay before to come in and be a part of your offense. And I thought, for the most part, that year was just a disappointing offense that the Titans have. And I remember, like, when the Packers hired Matt LaFleur, I was like, really? Like, Matt LaFleur is the route you're going? You're going to try to mesh that guy with Aaron Rodgers? Good luck with that. Well, all of a sudden, he's 24-6 since that point, and Derrick Henry has become one of the most dominant players in the NFL. Just like how both of them have taken off since then is really interesting to me. And I wonder, like, obviously we'll never know this, but if Matt LaFleur stuck around for a couple more years as OC, would the Titans offense look similar as it does right now with Arthur Smith? Would it look totally different? It's obviously something we'll never know, but interesting to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, I mean, I mean, anybody who says Arthur Smith has done a better job as OC, I agree. I'd also say again, that year LaFleur had, you know, numb-handed Mariota and Blaine Gabbert at quarterback.
Yeah.
They figure out Derrick Henry, and they go on a run late. Of course, obviously, they lose the Colts game at the end with Gabbert having to be in there. So it's just so hard to compare. And again, Arthur Smith has also had this Derrick Henry. And that's the thing. I mean, Derrick Henry, you know, we should take him at his word at some point when he talks about his own improvement. I think it's obvious to see. I think watching Derrick Henry his first 2.5 seasons in the NFL, largely as a backup, but still he had his moments, and it was like, wow, guy's big and fast and powerful, and he's just got a lot of talent, but man, there's just something missing, you know? Yeah. And he had to figure it out. It was really more him than anything, but he did. And so Arthur Smith has that guy who has figured it out. He has Tannehill, who is, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, whether the Pro Bowl voting reflects it or not. And that's a big part of it too. But I think he's also done a tremendous job as OC. Yeah. It'd be interesting. What would LaFleur have done with all this? I don't know, but look, I thought the same thing. And I think in the building, I think at Titans HQ, there was a little bit of really, you know, when he got the Packers job. And I was like, boy, because that's exactly what it was to me. It was like, man, I tell you what, it's nice to know Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, man. It is nice to know those guys, isn't it? But, I mean, I don't know, you watch the Packers a lot more closely than I do. So I feel like he's a pretty good coach. You know, I feel like he's done some pretty good things, and you have to give him a bulk of the credit, or a pretty good chunk of the credit, right?
I mean, his play calling this year has been outstanding. Like, as good as we talk about Arthur Smith and his play calling, Matt LaFleur has been every bit as good as Arthur Smith this year. That's number one, why I'm looking forward to the game so much on Sunday. I think it's going to be awesome to watch like these two offenses go up against each other. But yeah, I mean, LaFleur's done an outstanding job in Green Bay, 24-6, like I mentioned. And you brought up Derrick Henry and like the change. And I had this kind of revelation watching the game on Sunday against Detroit when he threw Alex Myers aside like a rag doll. I was like, you know, I remember watching Derrick Henry early in his career with the Titans and thinking to myself, man, if that guy would only use his size a little bit more and run with some power behind him, how good could he be? And then you fast forward to what he is now and him just throwing people aside on almost a weekly basis. I mean, that goes exactly to your point, Joe. I mean, you can have all the coaching you want, but it's on the player at some point to improve as well. And I think Derrick Henry has improved dramatically since he first entered the NFL. Like, I remember that was the big knock on him from Titans fans was, why does he keep trying to bounce this outside all the time? Why does he keep trying, you know, to not use his size and kind of avoid contact? Certainly cannot accuse Derrick Henry of doing that anymore.
No, and listen, some of that also is when you get 9 carries, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, like in basketball, like if you know you're only getting like a 2-3 minute stint off the bench, you might force a couple shots,
yeah.
You know, you might try to make up for the time you're not getting. So I think it was some of that too. And then here and there, again, they go to Kansas City a second year. DeMarco Murray's hurt. He's just incredible. It was like, holy crap, who is this guy? You know, the second half of that game, Mariota and Derrick Henry just, I mean, that game was on its way to being a blowout, and he was great. So you saw those stretches of it, but for whatever reason, he just, it was too much bouncing outside, not enough. And he has said it. Eddie George told him, you know, like your legs are stopping when you get hit. Like you have to drive the legs when you get hit, and you'd be amazed at the difference it makes. And, you know, so there was a lot of things he had to figure out. So, that's a great, I hadn't thought of it really in terms of play caller versus play caller Sunday night, but that will be fun. I mean, both these offenses keep defenses off balance, and we know these defenses can be kept off balance.
Yeah, they absolutely can. And if that trend continues, could be in for one of the more entertaining games of the year on Sunday night in Green Bay. When we come back, it would not be a college football offseason or beginning of the offseason without conspiracy theories flying around from the Tennessee Vols fan base. We'll discuss some of those on the other side of the break. Are there any that have merit to them? That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.